Prabhupada used to tell his disciples that you are already liberated. You have not realized it. Because devotional service is the liberated state. By engaging the mind and senses in devotional activities, that is the liberated platform of consciousness. But because our mind is still attached to other desires, we have not realized that we are actually acting on the liberated platform. So by continuously engaging in the process of bhakti, gradually sarvopadiva niramutam tatparatve niramalam hishikena vishikesha sevaram bhastam. Our senses and our mind are purified. The ultimate goal of our life is service to Krishna, and the way to achieve it is service to Krishna. So there is no difference between the process and the goal of the process. That is why bhakti is eternal. No other process is eternal. In jnana, the ends are different than the means. The cultivation of knowledge, the goal is not cultivation of knowledge. In jnana, the cultivation of knowledge, the goal is liberation or mukti. It's different. In yoga, Ashtanga yoga, the perfection, the ultimate goal is not asanas, pranayams, and dhyana, meditation. The goal is samadhi. The means are through these, asana, pranayama, yama, niyama, dhyana. In karmakanda activities, we perform sacrifice, but our ultimate goal is elevation to heavenly planets. So these are the various forms of religion or yoga practice. In each and every one of them, the goal is different than the process. That means the process is not eternal. But bhakti, what is the goal? Devotional service. What is the way to the goal? Devotional service. Therefore, by practicing devotional service, you are already on the eternal platform. It is the highest and greatest form of yoga because it is the only one that is eternal. By practicing Ragadveshiva Muktaishtu Vishayanindriyaishtarana Uvishayvadhyatma Prasadamarigashtu, by practicing the regulative principles of freedom of devotional service, one obtains the mercy of the Lord, and one becomes transcendental to all attachments and aversions. And what is the ultimate state after we are liberated? To engage in the same activity, devotional service, in a pure state of consciousness. So there is no difference between sadhana bhakti, vairi bhakti, raganuga bhakti, and prema bhakti. The only difference is our realization. But the activities are the same. When you become a new devotee, you're chanting Hare Krishna. When you became a raganuga bhakta, on the spontaneous platform, you're chanting Hare Krishna. And when you became a prema bhakti, in the pure state, you're chanting Hare Krishna. Correct? So the difference is not in the activities, the difference is in the realization. This is why in our Guru Parampara we do not believe in these premature advanced techniques into the higher realms of bhakti. Despite the chanting of the holy names and the rendering of humble devotional service, we're in the perfectional stage. The difference is in the realization. That realization is revealed by the grace of God according to our sincerity. In due course of time. They ask, what will you do? They ask Srila Prabhupada, what will you do when you, what will you get out of all this chanting of Hare Krishna? And what did he say?
Chanting
Hare Krishna.
Non-difference. It's already stated that the the time of the appearing of Krishna. So is that the goal for the process? Is that the process, preparation for the goal?
To remember Krishna?
At the last breath.
But how do you prepare to remember Krishna at the last breath? In this life, the ultimate goal is to remember Krishna at the time of death. But how do you remember Krishna at the time of death? What is the preparation? By remembering Krishna now. By remembering Krishna at every moment during our life, naturally we will remember Krishna at the time of death. So again, the process is none different than the goal of the process, to always remember Krishna. To always remember Krishna begins with remembering Krishna right now. And to continuously be in that now, in the here and now, remembering Krishna. You cannot remember Krishna yesterday or tomorrow. You can only remember Krishna now. Right? Eternal means always now. Huh? Eternal is just an everlasting now. That means now we remember Krishna, and at the next moment that becomes now when we remember Krishna, and the next minute that becomes the now when we remember Krishna. And at the time of death, then that becomes the next now when we remember Krishna. And then we go back to Godhead, and then that becomes the eternal now where we are always remembering, where we cannot forget Krishna. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. Right? Time is past, present, and future. That means there's only one eternal now with you and Krishna and all of his associates. They are simultaneously always going on. Yes, definitely. Always chanting God's name. And there's a neighborhood, a section of Goloka which is Navadvip, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally leading devotees on Harinam Kirtan. And the Vrijvasis, you read, when the gopis are churning butter, as they're churning, what are they doing? They're singing Krishna's names in glory. When the cowherd boys are playing with the cows, what are they doing? Everyone is continuously chanting Krishna's glory.
Especially like Babaji, how they chant like that. They are only especially they are chanting, meditating upon Krishna's holy name.
Huh?
In Golok Vrindavan, especially they are only meditating upon the holy name, being no other service. Or is it by service?
They are all doing service. No one is just sitting. There are no Babajis in Golok Vrindavan. Everyone is cowherd boys. They don't want to be Babajis. They want to play and herd cows, gopis. They all want to make the garlands and make the food. They are more like Radha Gopinath's devotees. They're always busy chanting Hare Krishna and doing their seva. Huh?
Whatever the duties or whatever the activities we do, it should be as a service to Krishna. Those people who go in the material world, we have been told that we keep Krishna into the center. We have to keep the spiritual life as a priority, and then we have to keep all about him as a secondary thing. We have to work. We have to see that Krishna is the first thing. And then we give more time into spiritual life. Sometimes it so happens that our material life is somewhat affected because we are not giving the full time which other people are giving. Then it so happens that we people sometimes become unsuccessful in some of the projects because we are not giving so much time like the karmis. And then all the karmis will tell us that because you are not giving sufficient time, that's why you are unsuccessful. And then we feel that when Bhagavad Gita says and Krishna says, both the things will go perfectly all right. What is going wrong?
Where does he say that both things will go perfectly all right? Which sloka does he say that?
He says that if you do service to Krishna, you'll be happy and you'll be, everything will be blissful.
Material. Yeah, but that doesn't mean your material life will go all right. Srila Prabhupada's business failed. Huh? And his wife and children were saying it is because you are too much with this Gaudiya Mathi. He said, Krishna's mercy, he takes everything away. Then he went to Vrindavan. Krishna will give you what you need. But we do not care what the karmas say about us. We only concern ourselves with the way we are pleasing Guru and Krishna. That is our only standard of evaluating whether our life is good. Nashito vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate shata ubhayara vidristam tastvane yastvatam tarashi. We have a completely different thought process and direction in our consciousness than the materialistic people. It is like night and day. Therefore, what is the use of working so hard to get so much? It is a fact. The more time and energy you put into your material life, the more you'll get from the material calculation. But it is like building a big house on sand. First storm, it is all gone. It falls to the ground. Therefore, through sadhana bhakti, we are building our life upon a strong rock. Whatever we build upon it has actual value, substance. Even the greatest storms then cannot disturb our consciousness. Because our whole life is built upon the rock of Krishna's mercy that will uphold us under any circumstance. Srila Prabhupada said, material life without Krishna is like so many zeros. What are these materialistic karmakandis doing all day? They're just working to get more and more and more and more zeros. They may have 1,000 zeros. They may have a lack of zeros. They may have crores of zeros. And they're so proud of all their zeros. And they say, what are you doing? You are not, if you work harder for this, you will get more zeros. Right? If you put more time in your business, you will get more and more and more zeros like us. But what is the value of all their zeros? Unless we put one in front. So you are working on putting that one in front. That is the most important thing. And however many zeros is eternal. It's eternally to your credit because it is used in Krishna's service. Bhagavad Gita does not promise that you will be victorious. Krishna tells Arjuna, you fight for me, you may win or you may lose. That doesn't matter. If you lose, you go back to Godhead. If you win, you get to enjoy the whole, you get to rule the whole world. Don't you care about the result. You only do it for me. You do your sadhana and you do your dhyana of meditating on me through all your work. Huh? That is Gita. Not to be attached to these material results. To be attached simply to doing it for Krishna. Just the offering of it to Krishna is the real goal of our work. Not what, how much money or how much prestige comes to her, but just the fact that whatever we are doing, when we offer it to Krishna, that is the supreme goal that we are looking for in our work. Just the chance to offer it to Krishna. And the karmis, they want to keep it all for themselves. Being a multi-billionaire will not make you happy, but making you Krishna conscious, you can spread joy and bliss throughout the world. One is based on greed. This mentality you're talking about is simply the mentality of greediness. The more time you put in, the more money you make. The more money you make, the more money you make, the more money you make, the more money. That's a the whole goal of life is greed. We don't care whether we have lots of money or little money. We just want to be Krishna's conscious. We are self-satisfied in our sadhana, in our satsang. And we do our work. Whatever comes, let it come. While we're working, we work hard. Let it come, or let it go. Understand? Don't try to please the materialistic people. Try to please Guru and Krishna. Adhavendra Puri prays that since I have been engaging in devotional service, my family thinks I'm crazy. Society has rejected me. My friends think I'm a fool. But I do not care, because Krishna is happy. That is all that matters. Let them all think what they want. I am Krishna's devotee. Any other questions? Any other questions? Yes?
Regarding teaching in India, what is your view about how many brahmacharis should be with regards to collecting lakshmi or collecting business? What should be your exact state of mind?
Your state of mind should not be taking but giving. If you have not come to take anything from anyone, you have come to, out of the compassion and benevolence of your Guru and Krishna as their representative, you are coming to give them the chance, to give them the chance to perfect their lives by engaging in devotional service. They're working so hard like asses day and night, and their money is simply causing them bondage. More, every paisa that they make is just binding them more and more and more in the modes of material nature. And by giving them the chance to offer some of it to Krishna, you're giving them the chance to liberate themselves. So we are not going to take anything from anyone. We are going to give them the highest treasure, the highest wealth of the chance to engage in devotional service. That must be your intent. I remember when Srila Prabhupada first came to India and he started this life membership program, and one devotee, Brahmananda, he asked Prabhupada, how should we approach all these rich Indians? He said, you should tell them that take out your checkbook right now and make out a check for 1,101 rupees. He said, because all the money that you're making is taking you to hell. But if you make out this check and offer it to Krishna, it will save you from hell. Devotees just did that, and they made thousands and thousands of life members through that process, because people in India know. People in India know what is dharma. They know that they're just greedy and making money, and they know that, what is it? It's all bondage. If I give some to Krishna, then there will be some very good results. And there will be. So this should be your mentality, that you are going there not asking for a favor. You are going there to save them from wasting their human lives.
Should we say somebody that give us money for this purpose, or we should just go on preaching and somebody gives?
That is according to time and circumstance. If you're preaching, if you're actually preaching, giving pravachan, giving lectures like that, and you're actually cultivating people, it's better to let them just become Krishna conscious, and then spontaneously they will be unified. But if you're actually going out fundraising, that is another type of saying. Then you should be thinking that I am not coming as a beggar, I am going as a giver. I'm going to give Guru and Krishna's mercy to them. And the way they can accept it is by offering something. Mm-hmm. We should explain it in that way. We are giving you the chance to purify your whole life, to purify your whole business, to purify everything by offering something to you. To always remember Krishna as the perfection of our existence. But unless our existence is sanctified, we cannot always remember Krishna. You have a question? What is the necessity? Simply because Krishna is doing everything. What is the necessity of you or me? Whatever we're doing, Krishna is doing through us, correct? But to give us the what was the necessity of Arjuna to fight that battle? Krishna said, I've already won. I've already killed all these soldiers. He even showed in the Virat Rupa before the battle how all the soldiers were died, were killed by him. So what was the necessity of Arjuna fighting? Simply, Krishna wanted to give Arjuna service. By giving him service, he was giving him the chance to be his devotee and show his devotion. So Krishna is managing everything. Whatever power the demigods have, they are getting from Krishna. But the demigods are jivatmas, and they are jivatmas who are great devotees. So Krishna wants to give them responsibilities, and he wants to give them obligations for the material universe to manage, simply to give them service, so that they can express their love, their devotion through that service. Mm-hmm. For Krishna, there's no necessity for anything. But out of his mercy, he always wants to exchange love with his devotees through the process of devotional service. Correct answer?
The European part of the world, America, Australia, they don't do anything. Why
are the
demigods giving them so much?
Because in the past they did. In the future, because they're not giving anything now in Yajna, in the future they will be bereft. But because in the past they had performed Yajna, therefore they are getting great benefits.
Huh?
so many people do again. Even homes, they have their own small again, but don't give anything much here.
That is because India is, the West is meant for material sense enjoyment. India is meant for self-realization. Because the West is, because India is leaving behind their spiritual culture to chase after the materialistic ways of the West. Krishna doesn't want them to succeed, because then the world will be in a hopeless state. So therefore he is withdrawing. People are born in the Western world with karma kanda karma. They're born there with the karma to enjoy material sense enjoyment. Therefore, Krishna gives them their good karma. But people are born in India for self-realization. And when they're chasing after these karma things, Krishna's withdrawing. Because most people are not doing. Most people are watching television instead, even in India. Correct? Therefore, the country is paying its price.
There is a verse in the borders of India, it's in the Bhagavatam. It says that since the human form of life is a sublime position, the demigods in heaven, they talk like this. How wonderful is it that human beings who have been born in Bharatvarsha, they must have executed pious acts of austerity in the past, or the Supreme Personality of God himself must have been pleased. Otherwise, how could they engage in devotional service so many ways? We demigods can only aspire to achieve human birth in Bharatvarsha, to execute devotional service, but these human beings are already engaged in.
That was in previous age. Now they don't think like that.
Maharaj, you were explaining once in answer to a similar question that to one who more is given, more is expected. And if one who is in knowledge, who has the opportunity to cultivate that knowledge, doesn't do it, he is punished more severely than somebody who doesn't know but he sins in ignorance. Just like the example of a child.
They are doing their yajnas, but then what do they do after the yajna is over? They do all that stuff. Huh? India is a place of a very high level of spiritual life. If the people of India pursue any other purpose, God will punish them. Because they've given so much. Any other questions?
This verse is very important for us. Ahara Shuddha Sattva. Normally, many people ask us in the course of our teaching, what is the importance of meat eating? Like Ramakrishna Mission people, they say, you can keep eating meat till automatically you give it up. Automatically the urge stops. So you see the importance of purifying our food.
They say that because they eat meat.
Yeah.
How can they tell you to give up if they're eating? They support their mission by killing chickens. They convince you to give it up and they will lose money. What were you saying?
It's a very important word for us in preaching also.
So everyone should learn this verse by memory by tomorrow. Okay? Beginning with their memory trouble. If you have discovered its importance. So tomorrow we will have text, everyone will know this verse. Alright? Ahara Sudho, Sattva Sudhi, Sattva Sudho, Dhruva Smriti, Smriti Lambe, Sarva Granthi Nam, be for a moksha. And it is from the Vedas. Anything else? Any other questions? Go get at her. Have you all? And Kirtan? Ananda? Atsutanam? Anat Kubhav? Goswamiji. Here we will chant Japa. So everyone learn this verse tomorrow. Ahara Shudho Sattva Sudhi Sattva Shudho Priva Sethi Smriti Lambe Sarava Kramti Nam Vipra Moksha. You learned it already?
Yeah, I use it.
Oh, you already know it? You have to learn a different one then. You should work on this preaching project. Radhe Radhe. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara.
Away from the mortal world on January 1st, 1937. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Away from the mortal world on January 1st, 1937. He was spending his last days reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him, wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had protested, "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna. That's all." Amongst his last words to his disciples were, he wrote this message as his last instruction to all of us. "I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. You shall all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please, give up the service of Godhead, in spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of the Lord. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance, like a tree, and humbleness, like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever." In his last days, he remained fully Krishna conscious and had given instructions until the end. He had specifically and openly ordered that the affairs of the Gaudiya Math be maintained by a 12-man governing body, which the devotees should select amongst themselves. Finally, he said, "Please accept my blessings to you all, present and absent. Please bear in mind that our sole duty in religion is to spread and propagate service to the Lord and of his devotees. At 5:30 a.m. on January 1st, he breathed his last. Jai Om Vishnu Bhad Paramahansa Parivraja Kachara Shastro Tadasata Sri Sri Maha Yaksava Tandava Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhu Bhad Ki Jai.